Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
By inclusiveness, I mean no holds barred, no exclusion. Today, the word pluralism probably fits as well as any. I raise a question by the Holy Bible. Is anyone to be excluded from the church, or are all embraced as welcome? We often see on the church bulletin board, "Everyone welcome." Now, what does that mean? Are there any scriptural standards for membership in the church? How well are the churches following those standards? Some churches advertise their open-door policy. They say, "You are welcome. Come as you are." The church at Corinth adopted the open-door idea, which Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians 5, 1-8. Follow me carefully in your Bible as I read the Holy Scriptures. That is, 1 Corinthians 5, 1-8. It is commonly reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication that is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In order to correct the improper inclusiveness in the church, the apostle outlines the necessary procedures which every church must follow. The first procedure is, expose the repulsive conduct. He said it was commonly known, widely broadcast as it were, that in the church at Corinth they had this man, an incestuous man, who had his father's wife. Perhaps they were lifted up. He said, "Some of you are puffed up." Perhaps their motto was, "We welcome everyone." Fornication is a Greek word in the New Testament for improper sexual conduct. The word in its noun and verb forms is used 31 times in the New Testament, always describing improper sex. The conduct that they allowed in the church was not even named among the pagan world, not so much as named among the Gentiles. The world judged the practice wrong. Though they were ignorant of the Holy Scriptures, they said such conduct is not right. But the church had this incestuous man among their membership. The conduct was condoned by some. Some even prided themselves with their tolerance, with their inclusiveness, with their pluralism. Instead, they should have been sorry. That man should have been excommunicated. They should have taken him off of their membership list. I am acquainted with some of the churches of West Africa. On one occasion, when I was visiting in a certain country, the young man that I knew was a pastor. His wife died, so he was eager, of course, to find another companion for his ministry. Then indiscreetly he started keeping company with the divorcee. The church leadership acted very quickly. I was informed that they put Elijah on the back seat of the congregation. He could not function as a pastor or even as an accepted member in the church until he got himself corrected. That is what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that they should do. Today, the church that wishes to keep house is branded as bigoted and intolerant. But the Apostle says, clean house. Get rid of that repulsive conduct in a member of your church. The second procedure is, explain remedial counsel. The Apostle urges them to make a definite decision. He said, I have made a decision already. I have already judged the case, and the man who is guilty of this kind of conduct must be set aside. Take action. The Apostle says, I have already taken action. With this member in the body, it is being defiled. Or you might say, it is like the rotten apple in the barrel of apples. The church, Paul said, is responsible. So you come together and you take action that is necessary. You take that remedial action. United, they should be in purpose. It was a serious matter, and it was an urgent matter. The Apostle Paul was impressing it upon their hearts to do what they knew should be done. Now, sometimes we may think that excommunication as being severe, but the Apostle insisted that this action was remedial. It had a restorative function. To restore such a person, it was necessary to separate him from the body of Christ, so he would understand the seriousness of his conduct. Thus he would be able to save his soul. Now please also notice that the leadership is responsible. They are called into office. They are expected to deal very carefully and fairly with the whole situation. I remember when I was a lad, my father was a farmer. I grew up on a 40-acre farm near Midland, Michigan. We raised navy beans as a cash crop. After the last cultivation of the beans, it was then up to us to go through the fields and hoe out the weeds. What was not wanted, what was not useful, was chopped out. Now it seems as though this situation in Corinth was like the weeds in the bean field, eh? The offending party needed to be separated from the body of Christ. So the second procedure was, Paul explained, the remedial counsel. The third procedure is, experience the refined conclusion. Delay was detrimental because the longer the church delayed, the worse the situation became. The Apostle likened it to leaven, that is, yeast. Yeast put in the mixture of the bread permeates the whole batch. So, he says, this will also do to you that very same thing. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Do you see that in verse 6? It affects the whole body. Cleanse the body. Do as the Jews do at the time of their Passover. They search diligently with candlelight to make sure there is no leaven anywhere in their houses. This they were instructed to do at the time when the Passover was established before they ever left Egypt, years ago. The Apostle Paul then tells us that Christ is our Passover. He has been sacrificed for us. And therefore there should be a cleansing action in the body to get rid of the leaven of sin. He urges us to come clean to the feast. When we had the prophecy conference in Jerusalem in 1971, we gathered on the Mount of Olives for communion service early in the morning under the clear sky of the Mediterranean East. The pastor in charge made a very convincing statement. He said, "This table is for sinners." Well, of course, another thought needed to be included there. This table is for sinners that are born again, who have come to the Lord and have had a cleansing experience, those who have been renewed. those who are not leavened. The church is a body, you see, and each member is important. No one is an island. We are all connected together like the members of our bodies. Sometimes we hear the statement, "Let the church be the church." Well, yes, of course. The church is not a club of any kind, a health club, a sports club, an academic club, or even a holy club. The church is not a club. The church is a community of called-out people, not of the world. A separated people is the church. So I observe from Paul's comments that there are only two options. Leave it as it is and pollute the church, so the whole church will be leavened. Purge out the leaven, the sinner, and be the body of Christ. So the third procedure is experience the refined conclusion. Get rid of this incestuous man. Change your mind about inclusiveness. The body of Christ is made up of born-again people. If Paul were to write a letter to your church, I wonder what he would say. The free and somewhat proudful ways some churches advertise, one might conclude they should hear Paul's word about improper inclusiveness. As in Paul's day, so in our day. Where improper inclusiveness occurs, the procedures Paul outlined should be followed. Here they are again. Expose the repulsive conduct. Explain the remedial counsel. Experience the refined consequence. Then the Lord will have a pure church, like Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:27. Listen as I read that text. That he might present it, referring to the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we look at this very clear teaching of the Apostle Paul. Surely we cannot mistake what he said. Here was a situation in the church that needed correction, and the leadership was negligent. Lord, help us to see how important it is for us to walk our talk as we profess our faith in Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for showing us from the Scriptures the importance of maintaining purity in the body of Christ. Friend, maybe you're like the man in today's Bible lesson who was living an immoral life. He needed the discipline of the church for the hope of restoration. Being put out of the fellowship was designed to help him understand the seriousness of his sin. But you don't need to wait for that kind of discipline. You can repent and receive forgiveness today. If you need further counsel from the Word of God, write to us. We'll be happy to address your questions from a biblical standpoint. So, send us your questions, your comments, or your prayer requests to Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send them by the email link that's provided there. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is heraldsofhope.org. Now I hope you'll join us next week as we study the book of 1 Corinthians together. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.